Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
For Wednesday, May 27th, 2026, I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. And first up, the Homer City Council introduced a new police officer and recognized a community member for years of volunteer work in addition to its regular business last night. Mayor Rachel Lord kicked off the meeting by reading a legislative citation recognizing Robert Archibald for over 40 years of volunteer service in the community. Police Chief Scanlon introduced incoming Police Chief Benito Ramirez Torres, who just completed training in Sitka and has begun field training in Homer this week. Then the council adopted its consent agenda, which introduces an ordinance that would set aside $8,000 from the general fund and approve staff time for work on public information on ballot Proposition 1. It asks voters whether to continue a sales tax that funds the city's Roads and Trails program, commonly known as the HART program. The item will return next month for a final reading and public comment. The consent agenda also approves several resolutions. One awards the contract for prisoner meals at the Homer Jail to Homer senior citizens and sets prices. Another reestablishes an agreement between the Kenai Peninsula Borough and the city, allowing equipment sharing and joint administration of elections. Others set property tax mill rates in Homer and selected a cleanup alternative option for the Homer Education and Recreation Complex property. It means demolishing the smaller of the two HERC buildings and not pursuing cleanup efforts on the larger, more accessible building. Council members put forward several items for public hearings. The first ordinance accepted over $8,500 in grant funding and another roughly $950 from reserves to buy 16 emergency response pagers for the Homer Fire Department. The council also updated its FY26-27 operating budget. They adopted three amendments to the item before passing it, including putting $12,000 to Kachemak Bay Broadcasting Incorporated for airing council meetings and emergency communications. Another amendment puts $20,000 to Kachemak Swim Club for operating the pool at Homer High School following the school district's decision to end pool funding. Lord says South Peninsula Hospital also committed the same amount to the club. She says the appropriations will be pending the approval of the school district and borough assembly. The final amendments puts $3,000 to city lobbyists. The council adopted the amended ordinance. Next, the council approved amending the capital budget for mid-biennium adjustments. They also amended the ordinance with $50,000 from the Port and Harbor Reserves for fencing to meet federal security requirements and $30,000 to improve access to City Hall from Pioneer Avenue to meet the requirements for the Americans with Disabilities Act. Then the council postponed amending the city's water and wastewater rates to the next meeting. Members say the underlying financial calculations changed and needed to be rechecked before making a final decision. No one from the public commented on the ordinances. The council declined to introduce an ordinance that would have set aside $378,000 for planning and design of a new loop trail above Karen Hornaday Park. Council members shot down the proposal in a 5-0 vote after learning the engineering costs come in at more than double what was originally budgeted. Randall Wiest, one of the citizens who originally helped buy the land, testified that the study alone would cost three times what they paid for the parcel and urged a lighter touch approach. Councilmember Jason Davis proposed dropping the amount to $190,000, but the amendment failed. The next regular Homer City Council meeting is June 8th. And in other news, the nearly 800-foot Luminera docked in Homer yesterday on its way to Whittier, Alaska. It's Homer's second cruise ship of the season, according to the Homer Chamber of Commerce website. It's one of three mega yachts run by the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection. An online cruise tracking website says the vessel's maiden voyage was in July of last year, and it has capacity for just over 450 passengers. It is currently wrapping up a 15-day trip starting in Japan. The Luminera began its cruise in Tokyo, Japan, and visited several locations in Japan before it crossed the Pacific, ported in Kodiak, and made its stop in Homer. The ship departed Homer last night for the last stop in its current run in Whittier. Finally, False Pass will soon see a surge in marine traffic as boats head north for the summer salmon season, but mariners won't have the normal guidance they're used to when trafficking through the shallow Eastern Aleutian Pass that connects the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports that nearly 30 buoys in the area have been reported as lost.
Daniel Davis is the chief of waterways management for the U.S. Coast Guard. He says all navigational aid buoys near False Pass have gone missing.
We have 29 buoys that mark the False Pass into Betchman Bay and then into the Bering side. And then also we have 8 fixed structures. Those are the beacons on the shoreline. And it was reported that all of those buoys apparently are missing.
The Coast Guard released a navigational safety advisory on May 1st, warning mariners of the lost buoys. Boats will be heading north through False Pass up to the Bristol Bay region for the summer salmon season soon. The region is also home to the Area M commercial salmon fishery, which begins in June. Increased vessel traffic includes smaller gillnet boats and purse seiners, as well as larger tender boats that transport goods and fish between harvesters and processing plants.
My primary concern from the waterways perspective are the tender vessels that tend to be quite a bit larger in terms of their clearance to the bottom and any obstructions that might be down there.
Davis says it's possible that some of the buoys sank or were dragged and could cause dangerous obstructions on the seafloor, especially for deeper drafting boats. The buoys are held in place with concrete sinkers that weigh about 6,500 pounds or more, he says, so it takes a lot of force to move them. David Cirrus also works for the Coast Guard's waterways management. He says they're not certain yet what caused the buoys to go missing.
We don't know if the buoys parted through their moorings or if some of them sank or... You know, we're not exactly sure what we're going to find until we get there and look.
There's a chance it was ice-related. Michael Lawson is a meteorologist with the Alaska Sea Ice Program. He says False Pass was completely choked in with sea ice in March. The eastern Bering Sea region, from the Pribilof Islands to the Alaska Peninsula, saw some of the worst sea ice in at least 15 years. Lawson says that's likely closer to 30. Still, Davis says the Coast Guard won't know for sure if sea ice moved or sank the buoys until the organization can perform some surveying.
Once we get out there and get a helicopter on scene, we'll try to figure out what's there. We're pretty confident that we'll get an air survey before operations begin.
Next, they'll bring in the Coast Guard cutter Cypress out of Kodiak.
They'll go out and do a comprehensive survey visually and with their small boats.
Davis says they'll be relying on help from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to get that work done. NOAA will be using a multi-beam sonar to survey the waterway for obstructions.
You only have about 13 or 14 feet of water to work with, and you're really tide dependent for that buoy tender to get in there and do that work. So having NOAA help us is super critical to our own safety.
He says they'll begin surveying and then restoring the buoys on May 28th. In the meantime, the Coast Guard has sent out broadcasts and reached out to various organizations notifying mariners of the missing buoys. They will also update the navigational safety information based on feedback from mariners in the area. Reporting for KUCB, I'm Maggie Nelson.
That's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. Thanks for listening, and good morning.